I'd like to teach the world to sing in perfect harmony. I'd like to hold it in my arms and keep it company. I'd like to build the world a home and furnish it with love. Grow apple trees and honey bees and snow white turtle doves. I'd like to see the world always all standing hand in hand, with a rose in every heart and peace throughout the land. It's a sound I hear, and I'm here to say what the world wants today is a real thing. And I don't mean coke, honey. This is Iris Jackson, and this is Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True. And today, we have someone who is totally in alignment with that song. That is a song in her heart. And this show is dedicated to everyone truly living a life of miracles and having all their dreams come true. And to co-creating heaven on earth for not only human beings, but for all life. And that is the goal of everything that I do. And I love sharing with you this person who is a living, breathing example of being heaven on earth and spreading it all around her. She is a world-renowned animal communicator. She is opulent. She is the most devout and committed person I have ever known to fulfilling her destiny and her mission. And that is really to end suffering for animals. And she is a minister. She has founded her own church, Sacred Spirit Ministry, and she is an acclaimed author. And I can't say, I feel like I really have to work on my introductions. They're a little bit, they feel like my weak point, but I am so grateful to have you with us, Sharon. I am the beloved, beautiful, precious, dear miracle herself, Sharon Callahan. Welcome, Sharon.
Thank you so much, Iris, for having me on your show again. And I feel this about you, that you're a miracle in action.
Wow.
I wanted to comment on your beautiful introductory song, because I feel it's so absolutely true that what the world needs is the real thing, and that the animals offer us the real thing. They offer us real love. They see who we really are. They see our I Am presence. They see what we're capable of, and they hold the energy of all of that for us, which, of course, includes a tremendous prosperity of every kind.
And we're doing a series now on prosperity.
Yes.
So what is your definition of prosperity, Sharon? Your definition.
My definition of prosperity would be the same way I think that I would describe grace, the grace of God, the prosperity of God. To me, prosperity is the continuous outpouring of the divine essence of God that is, the word you used is opulent, that life itself is opulent, that God has given us opulence. And if we're not experiencing that in our life in some way, it really means that there's some way that our eyes aren't open to what is already given. Because God has really given us the most opulent, beautiful planet to live on, the most opulent, beautiful nature, friends, animals, everything. We just must open our eyes to see it. And then help other people also, because we need all to have our eyes open together so that all the world can be the opulent paradise it once was.
Yeah, and and I really have visions of how that can come about. And one of the things that I have noticed is when I start out with practicing the presence of just really communing with God in the morning and saying, you know, God, what would you have me do? And to me, I want to say my vision of prosperity is the way I live.
Yes.
And I live better than a lot of billionaires.
You do?
I live in a way that is practicing the presence and just really getting up in the morning and giving my life to my I Am Presence. The I Am Presence, the one that is the only one in each of us. And then saying, I will serve you. Show me how to do that. And in my meditations, whenever I've asked about something to do, like I've been in places where I thought I needed big amounts of money in a real short time, and
yeah.
And I've asked about, you know, a lot of times I thought I should be, you know, have some big career 9-to-5 job, and I am just not that way. And in my meditations, in asking what needed to be done, how shall I create this money, this big amount of money that's been over my current acceptance level, and the answer has always been give something away.
That's right. That's
always been give something away.
Yeah, totally. The secret is that abundance and prosperity come through giving. And if we're not giving, then we're blocking the inflow of grace from God. It's just as simple as that. It's like having a block in a pipe that you're trying to move water through, so that if we hold on or we're fearful that we don't have enough, then we actually ourselves are blocking the flow of abundance. So you're absolutely right. Everyone should give something away every day.
That is, you know, I had a prosperity teacher, a wonderful master of manifestation in the 70s and 80s, and she said two things, just what you just said. If you want to be really wealthy, give something away every day.
Yeah.
And the other thing was, this is so important now. I just thought of three or four other things she said about this, but I'll come back to that. It's so important to give away something every day.
And I think that if we all practice giving away something every day, what actually happens is that we get into a flow of abundance and prosperity and grace, so that actually our whole life becomes giving, so that there isn't one single moment when we aren't giving something. And in observing your life and watching you, Iris, I can see that every moment you are giving, you're giving water to a plant on your deck that needs a water. You're picking the dead leaves off a little plant. You're doing something to satisfy the needs of the cats, or your son. And I think that our entire life can become and should become and actually is a process of giving every moment.
And, you know, that's the only fun thing. You know, a dog taught me this is I had a dog that I loved so much, and he got hit by a car, and I kept trying to replace him. And then the dogs that I had, I tried to get exactly him again, and then I would sort of withhold myself from them.
Yes.
And then I discovered one day that I was just trying to protect my heart from being run over by a truck again.
Yes, of course.
And then I thought, I looked down at the dog that I had, and she was this perfectly wonderful dog that I had been judging. Every time I looked at her, I said, oh, you're not Bingo. And so I would hide my love. And then I saw, actually, the reason everybody wants to be in love, Sharon, and that is because being in love is the process of pouring out love. And that's what happens in relationships so many times later, is that both people start withholding the love until you do this, or until you're like this, or until you take me here, or take out the garbage, or, you know, and that the joy of living comes from pouring out that love. And dogs do that all the time.
They do. They're the perfect example of exuberant joy and devotion to life itself. And you're so right, Iris. I mean, really, our whole life, every moment of our life, from the moment we get up in the morning, should be a process of being in love with God in all the different forms in which He appears, whether that's a flower or a dog or our neighbor. And if we do that, if we really give our love to every being and everything in our environment, that's what the abundance is, because that's the energy of God moving through us and the energy of love moving through us. And really, I believe that even inanimate things are beings also, that are the flower pots that our plants are growing in are also alive things. And the more that we give them attention and love and care and proper placement in our home, the more their energy enlivens and the more they can give back to us, because they're even finding in physics, which is something I certainly can't explain because I'm not a physicist, but everything is alive.
Wow. Well, it's because everything is God.
Everything is God. There's nothing that isn't.
You know, I was reading, you've gotten me reading Joel Goldsmith, and I really recommend his books, all of them. And Sharon also has some of his unpublished secret works, which I'm going to get a hold of soon. But he said,
Joel Goldsmith is especially important, really, for people in the United States, because, you know, so often when we're seeking for spiritual truth and things, we think we have to look far away or to another country or India or Tibet or something. And certainly there are wonderful teachers in those countries, but Joel Goldsmith was a really true American mystic and enlightened being right here in our own country. And he really felt that he was in love with God in all God's forms every moment of his life. And tremendous teachings, and his writings and teachings are beautiful and inspiring and uplifting and a wonderful way to start the day. And, of course, we have many other wonderful teachers in this country, too, but Joel is a good example of that. It's the highest teachings, a real pure understanding of the I Am presence in every being.
Well, he also said, get in touch with God as fulfillment. God is fulfillment. God is the sun sending its rays out.
That's right.
And so if I see that in every person, in every animal, in every plant, in every thing, and some things are a little harder for me, like my computer is a little hard to do that with.
It can be.
What?
It can be.
But just to see that in each person is the most magnificent, opulent, abundant gift I can give. And it's truly serving God.
It totally is. And so many of the people that I counsel in my work, you know, they don't have anyone to tell them that they're the fulfillment of God. And if we really can walk through our day letting everyone we meet, every person, every animal, every flower in our garden, to let them know that they're the fulfillment of God and how gloriously beautiful they are, we are doing our work.
You know,
and we don't need to go to an office.
That's a good thing for me. Well, you know, I really want to encourage the people that are truly the cultural creatives. And I really want to encourage people, you know, God wants you to quit your day job.
That's right.
And so the reason I harp on wealth and abundance and prosperity is that God wants you to be rich doing the thing you came to do and be.
That's right.
God wants you to have everything. Everything.
And it's, you know, my life is an example of how things can change quickly, because in the earlier part of my life, I was very connected to the I am and everything when I was a child. But then, as so many of us do, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I thought I had to go out and work and be in an office and do all of that. And I became more and more kind of disenchanted with the world. And then it really wasn't until I was almost 40 that I became really sick. And there was a tremendous gift in the illness, because the illness really was just a messenger of God helping me to shift gears to what my real work was. And as a result of the so-called illness that I had, I had a very high fever and actually lost my memory for a number of months and became like a child again. And during those months that I didn't have my memory, I really began to see the world again as God created it. I began to see the beauty of every little flower and every animal and even my own beauty, which I had lost track of.
You came alive.
I came alive.
You had a resurrection in your 40s.
I absolutely did. And I really believe that everyone, no matter how young or old they are, that we can click into our own real work, and the real work can be found really literally by thinking back to your childhood and what brought you joy when you were a child. And usually the thing that brought you joy when you were a child is the thing that you should be doing now, and that really would sustain you if you began to just do that thing.
Boy, I can see mine is still flowers, animals, transformation.
Mine too. Flowers, animals, and transformation.
Well, talk a little bit more about your work, because I didn't even say you have so many wonderful things that you're creating. Talk about Anna Flora.
Well, if I go back to that time in my late 30s when I was what the world would have called sick, it was really a kind of divine intervention that made me sit still or lie still in bed long enough that I could become like a child again and reconnect with my gifts. And for me, the gift really was the animals and the flowers, just like the animals and flowers are your gift as well, just manifested in a different way. But when I had the period of amnesia, the flowers and the animals began to speak to me, really literally in voices, and the flowers in the area where I live, which is very, very much connected with nature, began to encourage me to make essences from them. And really, I had no idea what that was. I just followed the instructions of the flowers themselves and began to set out bowls in the sunlight with flowers floating on them. And then I would take that water home and put it into little bottles with labels on it. And for our listeners, remembering that this was a time when I had an amnesia, so I really, for a period of time, didn't know the difference between a daisy and a rose. I just knew that they were incredibly beautiful and calling to me. And so I began to make these flower essences, and then I began, after the fact, to kind of research what kind of flowers they were and what a flower essence was and how to preserve them. And literally, in a period of a little less than 2 years, I'd made hundreds of flower essences, and my guidance was to make them for the healing of animals. And I didn't have a clue that it would ever turn into a business or that it would ever bring me anything in the way of prosperity. I just simply got up every morning and began to look around me with gratitude, to listen to the flowers, to make the essences. And slowly, over the next couple of years, it developed into a tremendous business. And then after the fact, after the making of the flower essences in this very innocent childlike state, the flower essences began to be used by veterinarians and veterinary clinics and sanctuaries all over the world. And the information that I was given by the flowers about what their healing purpose was actually proved to be true in a clinical setting after the fact. And I think that's so important to our topic of abundance, because really abundance comes not through the mind but through the heart, and really getting in touch with the thing that brings you joy and following that thread, and that it's through the following the thread of what brings us joy that our abundance comes. And for each of us that can be something different, but it's always beautiful and it's always abundant.
And it's always the thing that would be, if we could do anything with our time, that's what we would do. That's what
right.
We would do after we were rich.
That's what I would encourage everyone who's listening to us today to consider, is exactly what you said. What would I do if I could do anything I wanted with my time? And when you answer that question, you'll find what you came to Earth to do. And then you just simply begin doing that thing, and it will take over your life and bring you endless abundance.
and such joy and fulfillment, because there is nothing better than going to sleep at night thinking, I did God's will today. I did my absolute best with all my heart and soul. All my heart and soul.
That's right.
And, you know, and to have this feeling, this is one of my decrees. Everything I turn my heart and hands to blooms, prospers, flourishes, and blesses all life everywhere forever. I can't remember the exact one, but to everybody wants, and this is why I encourage people to have prosperity, is that after people have, they're not in the business of how am I going to get the rent paid and all these bills, the thing that everybody wants is to make a difference in the quality of life.
That's right.
Make
That's
a difference right. every day. Every day. Everybody wants that with all their heart, don't you think?
They do. And absolutely, we need to encourage everyone that we meet or that we run into, even casually in a store or something, that they are beautiful, that they are prosperous, that they are
a
gift to the earth. That's one beautiful thing I remember, Iris, you mentioned the other night when we were talking The Course in Miracles, and one of the things I remember from The Course in Miracles is that it asked the question, how many people does it take to change the world? And the answer is, it takes one, and it's you. And if each one of us knew that we could change the world, that we could be the one that changed the world into a loving paradise, the world would literally change overnight. The wars would stop, cruelty to animals would stop, everyone would have the abundance that they needed and wanted to do good things. But we really have to get in touch with the fact that we are God's gift to the earth, and we can change everything just by our actions and our givingness.
And you know what else? It is incumbent on all of us to learn the tools and the calling forth of Ascended Master intervention into all conditions on this earth. Because when we call for Ascended Master intervention, when we call the troops, when we call the angels, when we call our I Am Presence, when we call the great cosmic beings to come into conditions, and we call activities of the sacred fire, we are calling for gentle, loving, harmonious ways of transforming all life. We're not calling for death and destruction and, doomsday prophecies. We're not calling for that. We're calling for, when I look into the heart of God, the transformation that is desired is gentle, loving. You know, it's like a gentle awakening that spreads, and it's like with the gentleness of daffodils and a spring breeze and baby lambs. That is what God desires.
That's right.
So I want to encourage everyone to call on, in your prayers, to call on Ascended Master intervention in all plots and plans that limit people's freedom and sovereignty, for all things where any part of life is treated with less than honoring and cherishing and nurturing.
That's right, and really, you're so right. It has to be an honoring and cherishing of everyone and everything, because all of us can be prosperous together.
Sharon and I are co-authoring some different, we have about 10, 12 creative writing projects going, and one of them is bringing forth information from a cat named Treasure, the little Treasure. And I want to let you tell about this, Sharon. Then I want to share some of the things that Treasure has to say.
Well, little Treasure, we found, Iris and I, at the shelter in Mount Shasta, California. And he, I can't remember, Iris, quite how long he'd been in the shelter.
5 weeks.
And we found him, 5 weeks. And he was just the most beautiful little thing you ever saw. I mean, white, just glowing with God's love, and he really literally reached through the bars of his cage and touched Iris's arm and pulled it towards him. And so we took him from the Humane Society. He was there for a little while, because Iris had to make a trip back to the Bay Area and then come back to get him. But he truly has turned out to be one of the most gloriously, physically beautiful kitties I've ever seen, and a real, to me, ascended master cat. I mean, he has come with a mission. He has really come to help people understand that there's a home for absolutely every animal, that there's no such thing as a homeless animal except in a very temporary sense. And he has lots to say. He's been giving us his wisdom in little bits, and all of his wisdom is going to go into a beautiful book called Treasure Speaks for the Animals. And through his wisdom and his understanding, he is going to help to change the world into a paradise.
I'm just sort of tongue-tied. But one of the things is it's very, very, very important to call forth the violet flame. And the more people that can call the violet flame into conditions that, see, it's like you don't have to fight a condition that you see in the world. If you see something cruel, I mean, it may be your job to speak up, but to call the violet flame is to call ascended master transmutation, forgiveness, healing, and transformation. That is the purpose of the violet flame. And I feel like one of our real focus of our mission right now, Sharon, is to let people know about the violet flame. Do you want to talk about that a little more?
Well, I think that you're probably better at really describing the violet flame than I am, but one of the things I would comment on is that it is so important that we realize that there is no battle, that there is nothing to be fought, that it's all a matter of seeing the beauty that's around us and the perfection that already exists. And because my mind always goes in the direction of animals, I remember something from the story of Winnie the Pooh, where Winnie the Pooh, who's this wonderful little bear, says, I have seen the enemy, and he is us. And it's not really that there's an enemy at all, but just that anything that looks like evil or darkness or distortion really is something that we either individually or collectively are projecting with our own mind. And so going back to the beginning of our conversation, if we simply begin to see everything in its perfection, every moment, every little flower, every plant, every person, every animal, then what we perceive on the outer will simply raise in vibration to match that which we're putting forth.
Say that again.
As we begin to see everything and everyone that we come in contact with in its absolute perfection, then our outer experience, the outer world, will begin to resonate with that which we're putting forth. Everything comes from inside of us, through God, through our I Am presence, and out into the world. It's like life really, literally spills out in the form of grace and abundance through us into the world. That's why when we were talking about abundance, we were saying that abundance comes through giving. We're literally the fountain of abundance. And we simply have to let it flow.
Woohoo! Well, you reminded me of two things from the Course in Miracles. One is it says you are love, and your only need is to give it.
That's right.
And the other thing, going back to something you said about the Course in Miracles, is when one mind is completely healed, the world will be healed.
That's
so
right.
I think we have to lend ourselves to that.
It should be the top number one priority.
You're so cute, Sharon. I want you to tell people how they can reach you, and I want to say that for the first five people who email us, we are going to send you absolutely free a copy of Sharon's beautiful book, Healing Animals Naturally, with flower essences and intuitive listening. And we're going to send also a copy of Violet Flame to Heal Body, Mind, and Spirit. And so, Sharon, give your email address and your website.
I can be reached most easily at Anaflora, ANAFLORA.com, and people can email me directly from there. And anyone calling in will send an absolutely beautiful package with the two books that Iris mentioned and lots of other goodies, too.
Oh, yes, and we'll send you these prayers. That we're going to do, and we'll also send you a bottle of Miracles Happen, Dreams Do Come True, which is a flower essence Sharon has, one of your newest ones.
Yes, made in Iris's Violet Flame Garden. And it really is true that miracles happen and come true every moment that we're awake and pouring out love into the world.
Well, and that is, and you know, I want to encourage everybody to be a miracle for someone every day.
Yes.
Be a miracle in somebody's life, however that is. However that is, whatever it is you can give, that is a real miracle to someone. Sharon, give your email address again.
My email address is Anaflora, A-N-A. F-L-O-R-A at Snowcrest, SNOWCREST.net.
And mine is Miracles, MIRACLES, HP, that's short for happen, at yahoo.com. Miracles, HP, at yahoo.com. And before we go on, I want to say that next week we're going to have a very opulent and prosperous and world-acclaimed artist, Marlies, and say her last name for me.
Germutis.
Germutis. I want to, if we can, give Marlies's website addresses so people can check her out before that, because she is a very, very much of a an animal lover, supporter, and activist.
Yes, Marlies, her artwork and biography can be seen at www.pelorian.com. And Marlies, a wonderful example of opulence and abundance, because as our listeners will know, many people that are artists really seem to struggle to make a living, and Marlies really does not struggle. Her art goes out into the world. It transforms people. It brings her abundance. Her life is beautifully abundant for all of the reasons that we talked about today. She literally pours her love and her light and her energy out into the world every moment and gives every moment. And the return is tremendous.
Tell about the Deer in the Yard website.
Marlies has an incredible family of deer, sometimes upwards of 20 deer that come in her yard, and they have an entire website dedicated to that, and it's www.deerintheyard.com.
And it's so fun.
It's so fun. And the deer, there's a beautiful video that our listeners can watch that's all done to music that shows the natural interaction of the deer with Marlise and her husband. And the deer literally come right inside the house. They have absolutely no fear because they're given nothing but love and praise and gratitude every moment.
And some of the houseplants.
It's really very spectacular. Everyone should take a look because it'll open your heart instantly.
Oh, you have said that Treasurous wanted us to mention that how animals help people with prosperity, and we can sure see that with you. We can sure see that with me. We can sure see that with Marlise.
Yes, I feel, and Treasurous, our little furry friend who we're taking dictation from, says that how we
we're taking dictation from, that's right. The paws aren't that good on the computer.
That's the only flaw in the design, isn't it, that they have a hard time using computers. But Treasurous feels that people need to know that the way that animals are treated directly affects our abundance and prosperity. Because if we seek abundance and prosperity only for ourselves, and if we forget other human beings and nature and the animals, we might be prosperous a little bit, but it won't be nearly as prosperous as will be if we call forth prosperity for every living being. And part of the prosperity for every living being would be to stop cruelty in any form to animals, eating them, using their skin or their fur, testing products on them, all of that. We must include in our prosperity manifestation the prosperity and freedom of the animals. And really another more personal way that animals can bring us prosperity, the animals that we live with, our companion animals, is really because one of the things that I see that blocks people from having prosperity is that they don't fully connect with their own beauty and gifts and their own I Am presence. And if you really take a moment every day or several times a day, hopefully, to look in the eyes of your dog or your cat or your rabbit, you will be able to see that they see who you really are. They see past all the things that you might think of as imperfections, right to your heart and soul, and right to your perfect, abundant, divine self. And so the animals in our lives are continually mirroring back to us our highest selves. And we just need to take a moment more often to look at them as they reflect that back to us. I mean, they're literally holding up a mirror to us that shows us all that we can be and can become.
And also reminding us to love ourselves.
That's right.
Because that plaque that says, God, please help me be the person my dog thinks I am.
Yes.
I wanted to read a couple things from Treasurous. How would you feel if your baby was slated for cosmetic or medical experiments or slaughter to feed others or use their skin? Treasurous for the animals. And here's another one. Cat mothers are the wisest of all mothers. Ask my mom. Animal testing is hazardous to all life's health. Torture is torture. Animal testing causes human suffering and disease as well as ours.
And this is these beautiful statements from Treasures are all part of a book that he's writing. We're simply taking dictation. And I think, you know, some people that are listening might think, well, how can a cat say things like that? But really, if any of you who are listening today, if you look into the eyes of your cat or dog or other companion animal and ask them what they have to tell you, you'll be very surprised at what they say. They're just waiting for us to simply ask and to be present enough to hear the answer.
I wanted to read one other thing from him. We nurse our young, protect them, and treasure them just as humans treasure yours. We grieve if they are separated from us, killed or tortured, and we know. They know what happens to their young.
They do.
You have said that animals are much more connected to the collective consciousness than humans are with each other.
Well, they are. Human beings have really lost touch in some way with their connectedness with other humans. I mean, we can easily get back to that with all of the methods that we've talked about today. But with animals, if we took cows as an example, mother cows, when their babies are taken away, because I, you know, some people don't realize that even in the production of milk, they have to keep the cows pregnant all the time, so they're constantly having babies, and all of the male calves are sent away to be veal calves or for meat when they grow up to be bigger. And it isn't only that the individual mother cow mourns and is horrified by her child being taken away and killed, but she literally feels what's happening to every other mother cow and that mother cow's babies, because the animals haven't lost their intimate connection with one another. I remember a really great spiritual teacher saying that he felt that he needed to visit a slaughterhouse and to see what actually happened there. And he never went so far as actually going into the slaughterhouse. He said he didn't need to because he stood outside and they have this long row of trucks filled with cows that were all going into the slaughterhouse. And if a cow inside would be killed, all of the cows in the trucks that were waiting would literally shudder. Their whole body would shake and they would begin to shed tears. And you can see from that any cruelty to any animal is felt by all the others. And really, we are the same, and we've simply gotten out of touch with our connection with all our fellow human beings. And I think we really do need to get back into touch with the fact that there are other people suffering, that there are animals suffering. And if we simply consider all beings, animals and people, as our beloved children or brothers or sisters, all of that suffering will begin to change.
Shen, I love you. Thank you so much for your constant and continual contribution to making all life happy. I'm so grateful for it. Let's do the prayers, Sharon, before we run out of time.
You want to start?
You start. And you can get copies of these prayers. And
we're happy to send prayers to anyone who wants them. Just contact one or the other of us, and we'll send the prayers out. We offer our prayers and loving thoughts for those animal species now on the brink of extinction, for all animals held in unnatural environments, for those who are abused and neglected, and for all those who are put to death or who must die alone. For those species becoming extinct, we ask for healing And we ask that it, if it be in their highest destiny to stay with us on planet Earth, that this be so. For those animals confined to artificial environments, we send our love, our blessings, and our friendship. And if it be in their highest good, we ask that they be released. For those animals who are put to death, we ask that they be delivered mercifully into the hands of a waiting angel and taken to a place of beauty and love. We acknowledge each species of animal and each individual within each species for their power, their wisdom, and their courage. We honor the unique and critical place that they serve in the web of life, and we mourn their passing. We send them our love, our light, and our blessings, and the violet transmuting flame for more love, light, happiness, freedom, and the abundance of every good thing. So be it. So it is.
Okay, and then we have two more. We would really ask you to join us in doing these every day. Make a million copies, give them to all your friends. Spread it any way you can, because prayer really does work. So here are these two. Every time I connect with or am aware of anything less than the perfect health, happiness, freedom, and divine bliss, the source of all life intended for all beings, a billion minds are awakened and a billion beings are released forever and healed of all cause, effect, record, and memory of those conditions. A violet flame vortex of ever-expanding divine perfection is now established in place of those conditions, invincibly expanding, eternally sustained, every day creating more joy, beauty, harmony, freedom, happiness, and the abundance of every good thing. We give thanks, and this is for to do in specifically for animals that are in shelters, but you can do it for all the animals on Earth, too.
Yes.
And we give thanks that each of these animals is now delivered into the heart and hands and loving, gentle care of responsible, kind humans who nurture and support their happiness, well-being, and freedom, and who receive and know the precious, unique, divine gift they are. There is a perfect home for every animal and every living being, and we call them forth now, and we do give thanks. And may every living being, especially the animals, be loved, treasured, adored, appreciated, nurtured, and happy as our beloved little treasure is. Thank you, Sharon, for being with us. Thank you for listening. We'll be back next Monday at 2 o'clock. Until then, God bless you, and may all your dreams come true. And be-
this.